more abundantly. You know, this word in the Greek is priesos. It means to even go beyond. And that's what we want from our Father in our lives, is His Word, His understanding, His truth. We want it more abundantly. We want to be able to understand. And as long as you tend the field and produce fruit, guess what? He's going to give it to you. That's His promise, and we're going to document it in today's lecture. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the great book of St. John, chapter 10. St. John, the great epistle, not the epistle, but the St. John, the disciple that Christ certainly loved because he loved Christ. And we pick it up with the 10th verse. Verse 1, and it reads, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Many ways to play church. Many ways to pretend. You either have it or you don't. Okay. That's the way it is. There's only one door, in other words. But you have a lot of people that try to climb over the wall, slip under the fence, do anything to try to get attention. Verse 2. "But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." And boy, does he enter by the door. You know what? The porter knows him. Everyone else does. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua. Verse 3. "To him the porter openeth." He knows him. "And the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." Lead them out of what? Babylon. Confusion. And brings them into the truth. And they know his voice when they hear it. Why? Because they're God's elect. And they know that events that transpire in this world were written of long ago, and they've covered it. Verse 4, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." This is the mistake that most people make if they're not careful. They hear the voice and they start running and charging and knocking people over. You're supposed to follow him. He set the path. Do you pay attention to what he did? Do you pay attention to what he taught? Do you pay attention to how he did it? If you want to be blessed, you'd better. Because that's what brings his blessings. You follow him. Verse 5, "And a stranger will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." And a stranger they will not follow. You know why? Because intuitively, this word "know" means intuitively from birth. They can spiritually discern what is right from what is wrong. And they know a voice when it's incorrect. They know it's not of God's word. And they will not follow it. They will cast it aside and stick to the Word of God, His truth, and follow that. Verse 6, "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them." They didn't quite get it. Okay, he's going to make it real clear. Verse 7, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." In other words, that's Christ. There's no other way. You can look, you can search, you can try to climb, you can try this, you can try that. There is no other way other than through Christ himself and his way and you following him. That's the only way he will ever feed you. That's the only way he will ever use you. If you hear that voice, if you know that voice, and if you know his way, it's all written right here. He didn't try to take advantage of anyone. It's there for anyone to understand if they'll simply take the time to dig it out. He is that door. Verse 8, And all that come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. In other words, we had false prophets. We had the Kenites sent their own. They murdered a lot of the prophets that came to us down through the years. But nobody followed them. They stuck. God's elect always hold to the truth. 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Do you know what that pasture is? That's what a pastor produces. It's pasture. Food. Food from man? No, from Almighty God. The true Word of God. But did you notice it said you can go in and out? Doesn't matter where you go. He's with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will always use you. If you hear Him, and if you're feeding from His pasture, from His Word, and so it is. You can count on it. God will always feed you if you search for it. Verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Why? Because he's the destroyer. That's one of Satan's names. I am come that they might have life, eternal life, that is, and that they might have it more abundantly. There's your word. Do you want life more abundantly? Not just getting by. I don't mean just average Joe coming along. I mean with more abundant, super abundantly producing and gaining food and word from Almighty God. You got to ask Him for it. You got to search for it. He promises it. It's there. And it improves the quality of your life more abundantly. Is that you have that assurity and knowledge that His voice has been heard by you. And you are following that voice. It's called the Word of God. He was the Word of God. The Word became flesh and walked among us. The Word is the door. Walk into it. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And so he did, whereby we could have eternal life. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. A good pastor always drives the wolf away. You don't have to worry about it. He takes care of business. The Father also takes care of business. But I don't care how rough it gets. I don't care what. God has given us a promise. You stick with it. Don't you ever, ever let someone dissuade you or pull you away from the Word of God. What? It's the voice of Christ. Follow Him. And follow Him only. And the hireling, this is somebody that isn't really dedicated to serving the living God. Okay, 13. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. He doesn't really, all he is is a higher critic and a supposed Bible scholar. Be careful, my friend. The world is full of them. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. They know me. No one can pull them away. They follow me. Verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Something else, verse 16, to complete this chapter. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. And so it is that after the crucifixion, whomsoever will, he paid that price, that they could have that freedom, that knowledge, that food, that pasture where they themselves could produce fruit and be blessed. Go with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, St. Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to pick it up with verse 33. Matthew chapter 5, verse 33. For every positive, there is always a negative. Be aware. Verse 33 reads, again, you have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. In other words, you don't overload your donkey. You don't overstate what you're capable of. You don't promise what you can't produce, or you're going to commit perjury to Almighty God. That's not good. So be careful what you promise Him. Ask Him. Ask Him for everything. But don't promise Him more than you can produce. Verse 34. Or that is to anyone else either. Or you overload your little donkey right real quick if you're not careful. 34. But I say unto you, swear not at all. Neither by heaven, for it is God's throne. You got no business swearing anything by heaven. Verse 35, nor by the earth. Why? For it is his footstool. Neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, and he's going to return there after the fake. 36, neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. You can't control any of that. So be careful what you swear. What do you do then? We came here for this verse, 37. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more, this word more is more abundantly. It's priethos in the Greek. The same is totally written out, more abundantly. Then these cometh of evil. Whatsoever is more abundantly than these cometh of evil. In other words, what you do is you say, I will, or you say, I won't. You don't start swearing or promising, well, maybe on this hand, maybe on that hand, or maybe something else, and maybe if God blesses me, I'll do this, that, or the other. No, I will or I won't. And don't go above that, or it will bring an abundance of trouble to you. This means don't swear for someone else also. Well, I just wanted to go as note with him. Yeah, and you enjoyed paying it for him too, didn't you? Okay. That's really always real nice and helpful. I will or I won't, or abundance of trouble will come your way. That's a warning from our Father. Do it right. Do it head on. No ifs, ands, or maybes. We could even put it a different way. You either love Him and follow Him by His word, or you don't. It's that simple. You don't. It is not well to swear to anything. Either you know your capabilities, so you can either say, I will or I won't. It's nay or yea. Period. You see, this is where religion becomes very confused. In case you didn't know, I'm going to spend an extra second or two on this. You see, the law of precedent is destroying the world. Why? How can you say that? Because the law of precedent is what man says. This good man, this good judge said this, and this good judge said that, and we'll go with it. But what did the law say? What did God say? Okay. That's what you go by. You don't go by precedent. It's either I will or I won't. Why? Because it either goes with God's word or it doesn't. Okay. Because, you know, many people will listen to this man for a while. Well, that sounds pretty good. Oh, does it? But listen here. Oh, he's such a good speaker. You know, what did he teach God's word? What did God say about it? Okay. I will or I won't, yea or nay. You always do that. And you, what is your deciding factor? Not the traditions of men, but the holy word of the living God. Be your gauge, that you go by. Turn with me to Luke chapter 12. Great book of Luke, chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. But do you know something? You don't even have to wait until then to receive meat from him. That's word, truth, blessings. If you're a watchman, you're supposed to watch. How do I watch? By being alert as to what's going down. And boy, are you living in a time in this age where there's a lot of watching had better be going on, because many things are happening all around the world that were written of long ago. And if you're watching and preparing, he wants to give you more meat, more truth, more understanding, whereby you know which way the wind's blowing and where to take shelter. Okay. He takes care of his own. 38. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. Whether it's 9 p.m. or 3 a.m. in the morning, you be watching. Don't ever go to sleep on the watch. That is to say, without observing what's happening in this world in relationship to our Father's Word. That is, if you want to be fed from the pastor of all pastors, our shepherd, the door, which is to say, Yeshua. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. And that's true. So if you know by the signs and seasons when the false Christ comes, you're not going to be deceived. You're going to be in good shape. And there's no excuse with the written word that should happen to you. 40, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? Does this just apply to us, or does this apply to everyone? 42, and the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? He entered it back in verse 37, okay? Absorb it. It's the watchman. 43, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. What is he going to find you doing when he returns at the second advent? Everybody's looking forward to that. What are you going to be doing? Or 44, of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. That's God's elect. Don't give them an inheritance in Israel, for God is their inheritance. Quoting from Ezekiel chapter 44 from the millennium. 45, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, it ain't going to happen, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and be drunken, 46, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour. Well, what hour is that? You know what that hour is. It's the hour of temptation. When he is not aware, and will cut him in asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. You don't want to go there. After wanting to serve him, to be cut off, when you live for that moment of the second advent, when you live for that time that builds up to it, and then in the hour of temptation to be tempted by none other than the one that tries to come under the gate, do anything but to go through the Lord. I'm talking about the destroyer himself. To be tempted by him is disgraceful. When you have the letter, when you have the word, when you have the door, all you got to do is walk through it. Go in and receive that meat, that truth. And then you have the ability to go in and out. No one can deceive you wherever you are. It's either yea or nay. You know the way. You know the path. And that path is the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow him. And you will never be misled. Verse 47. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Boy, when the Lord gives you something and you don't use it, look out. I don't want to put anybody on a guilt trip. The time to use it hadn't come until the Antichrist appears. 48, this is why we came here. But he that knew not and did commit these things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. And this word more, of course, is priestos. It means abundantly. And so it is. When, you know, all of our gifts, you can't take credit for them. They come from God. All the knowledge comes from God. And we have to give him that credit for it. And it is our Father that gives us the strength, the ability to fulfill his word. But when he gives you much, you had better put out much. You had better produce. In other words, if he gives you a truth, don't hide it under a basket. But deliver it. Live it. Let be the living example. If nobody will listen to you, live it. You'll do just fine. You'll be pleasing to Almighty God. And from that, when he gives much. He expects more abundantly from you. And he deserves it. If he makes it easy for you, then produce. Be a watchman. Train watchmen. And receive the blessings. Verse 49, I am come to send fire on the earth. He is a consuming fire. And what will I if it be already kindled? Do you ever start that fire? That fire is by truth, by teaching truth. It sets a lot of people on fire. It offends them. Truth does. But you stick with it. Never apologize for it and never be ashamed of it. I don't care whether people say, well, that's not politically correct. Who cares? Stick to truth. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straighted till it be accomplished? I'm going to get it done. And he could expect all the same from you. He went and he was crucified so that you can have salvation, that your sins are paid for. He didn't back away from it, and he didn't find any excuse. Well, let's just wait until tomorrow, okay? This looks a little bad. No, he stood right up, paid the price. He wasn't a wimp. I don't want you to be either. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth, I tell you nay, but rather division. And truth, you know, if Satan's in charge, the prince of air is in charge of this earth, and you come bringing truth, you think that's not going to bring division? Of course it is. Why? Because you must change things. Why? Because you have the truth. You have the light, and they are darkness, in other words. That causes controversy. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. 53, the father shall be divided against the son against the father, the mother against the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. You know, it is a blessing when a whole family sees the truth, and you don't have that division in your family. It's a hurtful thing when part of a family sees truth and the other part doesn't. It's very painful. And hurtful. But don't let it ever get you down, if that happens to be your case. But whatever you do, if your whole family sees the truth, you praise God and you thank him every minute for that. It is such a blessing. But never at the same time, if a family member can't see the full truth, bear with them, and as long as they do not interfere with your being able to bring forth the Word of God. But that's what the division is about. And so it is. 54 to continue. And he said also to the people, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. What he's saying here is you can look up here at the sky and kind of discern the weather, but do you really know what's going on around you? Do you take a look at it? Did you listen to the news this morning? Did you observe what's happening in the world? I know you can tell it's about to rain. But don't be stupid, is what he's saying here, okay? Pay attention to everything. 55, and when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be heat, and it come to pass. Well, why would they say the south? Well, it's coming off the desert. Naturally, if it's coming off the desert, it's going to be hotter than 60, okay? So you can't go too far wrong there, but they can tell that. You hypocrite, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. How is it that you do not discern this time? Yea, and why even yourselves judge ye not what is right? And so it is. And then he goes on to tell them, you're going to pass an adversary in the byway, and you're going to end up in trouble if you don't pay attention, if you don't know how to handle the situation. You're going to be delivered up to the man. Don't go getting caught up out in the byways. You're smarter than that. Be a watchman and watch. To complete the lecture, turn to the great book of Hebrews. New Testament, Hebrews. Chapter 6, what this chapter has to do with is Paul is telling them here, he said, here, you've been around all this time, you claim to be Christians, and you don't know anything. You can only take the pablum. You can't take the meat of God's Word. You just can't stand it. And then he goes on and say, you have your little meetings and you want to get saved over and over, when all you needed to do was to repent. Why? Because Christ does the saving. And once he saves you, all you need after that is repentance. So that is what the first part of this sixth chapter covers. But I want to pick it up with the seventh verse beyond that. Listen carefully. Verse 7, Hebrews chapter 6. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessings from God. Now, did you read over that? It says, only for those who dressed it. That's to say, those that worked at it. Those that deserve it. Those that work at tending God's garden. That is to say, His Word, His way. You know what? If you don't dress it, guess what? Verse 8. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. In other words, I hope your works are better than that. Okay. Because that's what happens to briars and stuff. They're no good. Dress it, tend it, be a watchman, take care of it. Listen to God's word, not man's. Verse 9, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. We just really hope that you'll catch on to better things, which is what? 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work. Well, there's that word again. Your what? Your wishing? Your sleeping? No, your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name. What was that for now? Again, his name. In that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister what? The truth. The truth is so powerful. It's so mighty. Why? Because when you teach the truth, God's blessings are on you. Whoever you share, plant a seed with and share it. Verse 11, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. You stick with it. It's no yay, nay here, yay, nay there. It's straight on. You stick with the truth. Don't be pulled away from it. Stay focused, in other words. 12, that ye be not slothful. That's dull. And maybe just a little bit on the slow, stupid side. But followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. My goodness, pray tell me who that is. Who inherits the promises? The elect do. Those that love Christ. Those that go through that door. Verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, it still applies to you. Because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Do you understand that? Well, I just wish I could believe that promise. Then you can't believe God? You're treading on dangerous soil if you would ever say that. Very dangerous. 14, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. Is it happening to you? How's your knowledge going? How does the truth come to you? Verse 15, and so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Old Abraham stuck with it. He didn't give up. He hung on. That's an example for you. 16, for men verily swear by the greater. And an oath for confirmation is to them an end of strife. In other words, there's no more argument after that, if you stick with the truth. It that end of story. 17, listen carefully. Wherein God willing more abundantly, there's our word, mark it, more abundantly, superabundantly, priestos, to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. In other words, what he did, he interposed himself. He intervened for you. I mean, put himself on the line. And he cannot lie. It's a guarantee to you. It doesn't leave room for doubt. That's why you can say yea or nay, or I will or I won't. Because you have the great one to go by. He is your gauge, your authority, your teacher. Listen to him. 18, that by two immutable things, unchangeable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hope upon the hope set before us. What are those two things? Well, it's the oath and the promise. You can count on it, my friend. Well, you know how you can believe? Exercise it and be blessed. Love him and be loved. Follow him and be led. He keeps his promises. He never lets you down. If he calls you, he expects you to make it. Every barrel sits on its own bottom or it falls over. Okay. That's what's important to you. Does your barrel stand or does it need to prop up on something? If you're led of God, it will stand. I could have used a three-legged stool instead of a barrel. But the barrel works. Okay. 19, which hope we have as an anchor. What is that in your life? It's an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. In other words, it takes you right into the Holy of Holies. It lets you talk to God. It lets you speak to Him, and He hears you. He leads you. It puts you right. I mean, that's His promise. He took the oath. He made the promise, and then He vowed. The oath and the promise, both you can't go wrong. Verse 20, to complete the lecture. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, He's there, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And it is the Zadok, which is God's elect, in which God leads. How precious it is to have that oath from God that you can count on Him. It is not changeable. It's there for you as long as you believe. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Father, for Your message. We thank You, Father, for Your word. We thank You for Your leading, God. Be with us and let each of these be a blessing to all they come in contact with. In Jesus' name, amen.